and it sounds like it's about to explode. I think that's probably the best sound comparison I can give to them.
That's a good one. So coming up next, we're going to do a set of music. We've actually played a lot from this album over the years. It's definitely a favorite of the show. Liz Phair's Exile in Guyville.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about for this record and for its history. One of the main things I think we need to talk about is how this album came to be, which was that Liz Phair was releasing independent cassettes before getting signed to Matador Records and having this thing fully produced. And she released a series of tapes under various monikers, such as Girly Sound, Girls, Girls, Girls. I think there was another one. Regardless, Liz Phair basically had not only this entire album, but most of her next two albums already out on these cassettes because she was so prolific at that time. And she had this very naked, raw intensity about her songs with these very vulnerable lyrics, which she herself wanted to get away from when she came to record the proper album, Exile in Guyville. Exile in Guyville is kind of like a response to Exile on Main Street by the Stones. That album has 18 songs. This one has 18 songs. You know, some of the tracks kind of line up to the tracks on Exile on Main Street. Some of them don't. It's kind of like a loose conceptual piece, but basically it's just exploring the emotional place and the headspace that Liz Phair was in when writing these songs, which is very candid, very vulnerable, and there's a toughness about this too, but an affected toughness. Liz Phair was asked about 20 years after recording the album what it was like when she listened to it again, and she said, "I hear someone trying to sound tough, but it only makes them sound all the more vulnerable, and listening to these songs again makes me feel very sad." And yeah, I think that's a very good description of the album itself. There is a toughness to it, but you can tell it's kind of a veneer hiding something beneath it that's a lot more fragile. And the songwriting is incredible on this.
Yeah, and we're actually going to hear three songs from this release. And I believe there is a reissue out, and there is a song that was recently put out, an outtake from the sessions, that you can hear on online and if you pick up the release. But we're going to hear three tracks from the album proper.
Well, actually, we're changing things up a little bit.
We are.
So we're going to play two tracks from the album proper. But about 5 years ago, there was a reissue that featured almost all of the Girly tape recordings, those demos that she had recorded leading up to Exile in Guyville. So we're going to hear probably the best known song on this record. What do you think that is? The only one that got played on alternative radio.
I can't remember the name right now.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold off on actually naming it. This song you will recognize once you hear it, but we're hearing an early countrified version of it as it was originally intended. We'll see if Dave can guess what the song is called once we get into it. But anyway, also stay tuned for music from The Securites and Pax in this set on Revolution Rock.
save. They say he rode in on the back of a pickup, and he won't leave town. Do you remember his name? He's just a hero in a long line of heroes, looking for some lonely billboard to grace. They say your own head and the headache he gave. He's just a hero in a long line of heroes, looking for action at a price he can pay. They say he's famous, but no one can prove it. Make him an offer just to see what he'll say. Check out the dashboard lights, glowing all green and white. He feels safe in the dark. He wears his blue jeans tight. He's just a hero in a long line of heroes, looking for something attractive to save. They say he rode in on the back of a pickup, and he won't leave town till he remembers his name. Check out the fading hair. Check out the aftershave. Check out America. You're looking at it, babe. Spreading it around.
attention. There was no pressure. But I did like it. I liked your answer. And when I closed my eyes, I liked the picture.
You're tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Kay, joined with Adam P. And we just came back from a longer set there, featuring some music from Liz Phair, but also ending off with a pair of newer tracks. The last track we heard was from a band based in Montreal called La Securite, and we heard a song called Le Kick. And they have a new album out on Mothland, the Mothland record label, called Stay Safe. It came out on June 16th. Prior to that, we heard an album that came out not too long ago, but we've been playing quite a lot of from Toronto-based band Pax.
Yeah, this new album is fantastic. I think maybe by the year's end, we'll have played everything on the record. We're definitely getting pretty close. The album is titled Crispy Crunchy Nothing, and the track we played was Laughing Till I Cry. I feel like that was very appropriate because when we talk about these anniversary sets that we've been playing, we talk about the influence and the type of legacy that these albums have and why we celebrate them. And I do hear a lot of echoes of Liz Phair and her songwriting and what an album like Exile in Guyville managed to do for a lot of bands thereafter, including, I would argue, Pax to an extent. Definitely Pax have gone on and developed their own sound, but I do feel you can trace that lineage there. And as per my preamble, as we could probably guess, we played some tracks celebrating the 30th anniversary of Exile in Guyville. The track we heard before Pax was actually not from the album proper, but was off of the 25th anniversary edition called Girly Sound to Guyville, which had the album proper remastered along with a slew of demos that Liz Phair recorded throughout 1991 and 92, in which case she basically wrote the entirety of this album and about two more, and that would basically cover her discography throughout the rest of the 1990s.
Mm-hmm. And the track we heard was Clean, which is an early version of
Never Said. Which, of course, became a bit of a regional hit here in the Windsor-Detroit border area, and I know also got quite a bit of airplay throughout North America as well. But I really like that demo version. I love how kind of countrified it is, and I love that sort of raw passion in Liz's voice as she's singing. We also heard, before that, from the album proper, Soap Star Joe and 6 Foot One. Again, two great tracks off of this. Dave, we've talked about the album and its lineage a little bit. What do you think about the connection with Exile on Main Street? Because, you know, that's the big thing. People say this is kind of like a track-for-track response to that. What's your take on it?
Well, I agree with what you said earlier, where it's loosely based on it, because there's things that pop out, like in that, I forget which song it was, there was like a harmonica thing.
Oh, that would be Soap Star Joe, yeah.
Yeah, which definitely was kind of calling back to sounds on Exile. But yeah, I would say it's like a loose interpretation, influenced by it, but in their own way.
Yeah, and I think there's also, especially in 1993, you have to figure the audacity of an up-and-coming singer-songwriter who's a woman referencing this major work, this sort of canonical rock and roll record, is a challenge to a lot of the conventions, the very, how should I say, misogynist expectations of the music industry that were happening then. And, you know, let's not deny it, to an extent, are still happening now.
Mm-hmm.
This album broke a lot of ground for Liz, and I will be the first to admit, as her career went on, I wasn't always a fan of what she produced. I did enjoy her last record, Soberish, but I think, you know, she is one of those people who encapsulated her strengths in a single album, and she definitely did it on this one. This is one I go back to many, many times and can continue to listen to. I love this record, and I'm so glad we had a chance to touch base on it. With that said, we have a lot of new music we're going to be getting to coming up next. Well, not just new music, we're kind of going to run the gamut, because we're going to be playing something really cool, brand new track from Tommy Stinson's Cowboys in the Campfire, which we played a track from, I think it was 6 months ago. It was a pretty long time ago.
It was a while back.
Yeah.
So Tommy Stinson of The Replacements has a new album with this new group he put together, and it's kind of folk, country, and rockabilly leaning, so we're going to hear that. We're also going to hear a new track from Galen and Paul. This is a new duo featuring Galen Ayers and Paul Simonon. Paul Simonon, of course, previously of The Clash. He sings, he plays guitar on this record. I'm not sure if he plays bass. He may. But anyways, it's kind of a more folky and Spanish folk. There's even songs sung in Spanish on it. It's really quite a cool record. And we're going to hear a track later on in the set. We're also going to hear some music from unreleased music from a Windsor band known as Global Citizens. And this was a band that featured a couple different Windsor musicians that were in another band, the Prehistoric Cave Strokers. Mark Fedek and Jono Fiddler played in the Cave Strokers, and they're also in this band. Mark was also, a long time ago, he was the station manager here at CJAM in the late 80s, early 90s as well, I believe. And he sent me some of these songs he recently discovered on a tape. And they were never officially released, without the exception of maybe being given out to friends at the time. But never officially released. So we're going to hear a pair of those tracks. And we're going to start off with a really cool new unreleased track from Joe Meek and the Blue Men. Now, if people don't know who Joe Meek is, he's from the UK. He was a revolutionary producer. He was perhaps best known for the reverb and spacey sounds he developed in his home studio with the song Telstar, which he, I believe, wrote as well for the Tornadoes, and kind of changed the way music production would go. Instead of being, like, it was very, at the time when he was doing it, it was like the 60s, late 50s, so like music was really basically produced the same way. He introduced different elements, and it's stuff people still use today. He only ever put out one album of his own solo, but he left behind what have been talked about for decades called the T-Chess tapes. So he left behind a bunch of reel-to-reel tapes that he recorded over his career, and they were never officially released, but now Cherry Red has them and has been releasing them in series of 10 inches, and perhaps it's building up to a box set of some kind, because there's over 2,000 reels that they found.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole alternate version of his album, which is called I... where is it there?
Oh, I Hear a New World?
Yeah, so now there's a new version of it called I Hear a New World Sessions, an alternate...
outer space fantasy.
Yeah. So we're going to hear an alternate take of the first track on there. That's not the correct title we have written down, but the very first track on the release, that's what we're going to play. It's a different take, take one. So it's actually called... One second here. I don't have it. Orbit Around the Moon.
Orbit Around the Moon. I love the sounds of that. Well, hopefully the moon is treating you really nice out there tonight. I hope you all stay tuned for another hour of Revolution Rock. And just before we get to that, we are just going to have to play a brief station ID to remind you where you're tuned into, and also a quick PSA. Right after that, Dave, we're going to get to some music from Joe Meek, as well as Global Citizens, The Corettes, Tommy Stinson's Cowboys in the Campfire, and more here on Revolution Rock.